Neurosurgeons often rely on custom maps of a patient's brain to avoid damaging critical areas. Most of those maps are still pretty crude. But as NPR's John Hamilton reports, new technology is making them much more precise.
Surgery for a brain tumor or severe epilepsy can affect a person's language, movement, even memory. So before operating, Dr. Ahmed Raslan of Oregon Health and Science University asks which activities are most important to a patient.
If somebody wants to preserve playing the violin, we'll let them do so. If somebody is a mathematician, we'll give them a math formula. If somebody is a painter, we give them what's called visual cognition task.
Raslan says the key is identifying the brain area needed for a particular task, then marking it with an imaginary line.
It's really more like a shoreline. It zigzags and it curves around.
To map out this shoreline, surgeons often use a grid of sensors placed directly on the surface of a patient's brain. But the accuracy of this approach is limited by the number of sensors. So Raslan has been working with scientists at Massachusetts General Hospital and the University of California, San Diego. They've developed a new grid that crams many more sensors into a small area.
The clinical grid, the current one we use now, uses one point of recording every 1 centimeter. The new grid uses at least 100 points of recording per square centimeter.
The engineer behind this high-resolution device is Shadi Daya of UCSD. He says it's a startling improvement.
Imagine that you're looking in a clear night at the moon. With traditional clinical electrodes, you wouldn't be able to see details. But then imagine holding a telescope, and then you start to be able to see better features.
Daya says the new grid looks like a small square of saran wrap. It's transparent and so thin and flexible that it clings to every contour of the brain surface.
We have very tiny sensors that are a fraction of the diameter of the human hair.
The device has worked well in animals, and in May, the FDA approved it for testing in people. Daya, who along with Aslan co-founded a company to market the new grid, says the team's next goal is to perfect a wireless version that would allow epilepsy patients to be monitored at home.
The third stage is to take patients who are unable to communicate with the outer world or unable to move their limbs and use this technology to transduce their thoughts into actions.
By generating speech on a computer or moving an artificial limb. This has already been done using electrodes implanted deep in the brain, but placing them on the surface is safer and gathers information from a greater number of neurons. Daya's research is part of the Federal Brain Initiative, launched a decade ago to develop technologies that would reveal the inner workings of the human brain. John Nye of the National Institutes of Health directs the effort.
We have these complex circuits in our brains that are actually underlying our conversation right now. And the ability to look at the activity among these circuits with greater resolution will give us a better understanding of how all these processes work.
Nye says the new grid also promises to improve treatment of patients with epilepsy or brain tumors.
Ultimately, the goal was to develop better ways of treating human beings, and I think this gives us a pretty good stride toward that goal.
Future strides may take a bit longer, though. Congress cut this year's funding for the Brain Initiative by about 40%. Even so, Nye says the new sensor grid and its wireless counterpart show just how far the field has come in the past decade.
I remember sitting in a room with a group of some of the best electrical engineers, computer scientists, and they said, well, geez, you know, even if you could do it, we wouldn't be able to get the data out. And you look at it now and it's being done.
Thanks to technology that didn't exist just a few years ago. John Hamilton, NPR News.